stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Wednesday, August 12th, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead. We are live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Busy show today. A lot of stuff to do. A lot of irons in the fire. Can't wait to talk about it with you. 654-ROAR is the number. You want to get in Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, Adams and Gorving text line, whatever floats your boat today. We've got Will Vandenborre coming at 2:05. Got some hump day headlines and some, you know, hilarity may ensue. Make it into some serious stuff today. I'm going to meander through a plethora of topics in the sports world. Ben Milstead, it is great to see you. How are things today?
Things are fine. Good day, busy day. I was on campus, on Clemson's campus this morning with my youngest. There's something about the energy of any kind of school right as school starts back that it's a little infectious. It's also chaotic. It's also stressful. But it's funny how much things change right when on the roads, everything right when school starts back. So I've been living that this morning.
Did you park okay?
I parked illegally.
Ah, great.
But I did not get a ticket.
You know, clap for you. That's like the first. That's the way to do it.
Look, I don't know anything about that. I hear horror stories about parking at Clemson. It's a part of life. I'm just not aware of. I also almost backed over a golf cart. I did not see him. My vehicle has cameras like all the way around it, but he's following me within inches of my rear bumper through the parking lot. I see a parking place. I need to back up to get to that parking place and did not see him. So apologies to that man who is thankfully still alive.
The good thing is, your truck would have just gone right over the top of the golf cart, and it would have just rested very, very neatly beneath the chassis of your car.
Yeah, that would have been a bad thing, but I didn't kill anybody is the moral of that story today. That's good. Also, driving here this morning, I did look in my rearview mirror at a stoplight, and I see a lady. I'm not making this up. She has a cell phone in both hands. Both hands.
Wait, say that again? What, was she driving with her third hand? Like, what is that?
Well, we were stopped at a red light, but she had a cell phone in both hands, and she appeared to be using them both at
She's
the same
talking
time.
About-
it was amazing. So she
I
was
got
going,
30 seconds to do this call.
There's a multitude of ways to get to the station. She was going straight. I took a lift.
Good for
not
you.
Not risking that. So
good for you.
There's that.
I'm a big proponent that, as I said, I think distracted driving takes a lot of forms. I think phones are the boogeyman, and that we are distracted in a negative way by a million things other than our phones, but we have been told that our phone is the only distraction in the car that matters.
I maintain that the folks care. Driving with their dog, allowing their dog to stand on their lap while they're driving is much more dangerous than a cell phone.
Yes, and you won't get pulled over for that.
No, we let Timmy the dog stand on my lap, and I got to reach around him to get to the steering wheel and let his head hang out my window. That's safe, but I can't answer a call on hands-free calling. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, if I got a problem with the Bluetooth in the car, and I just want to listen to the podcast. It just stopped working. I actually got pulled over for that the other day. I got a warning.
With your phone?
For hands-free. The podcast stopped playing. Problem with the Bluetooth. I was trying to connect the phone, and I'm like, it was in easily. So I'm like going from one red light to the other. I'm not going more than 25, okay? I'm not going fast. I've got it in my hand. I'm just trying to find it and set it up, and then I'm going to put it down and listen. I'm good. And I got pulled for that. It was a warning. I told the guy exactly what was going on. I wasn't being reckless, whatever. So it was fine.
Texter said, just left Walmart. Lots of cheap wall mirrors and beanbag chairs being purchased. You can definitely feel the energy.
If it weren't for back to school, there would be
no market at all for beanbag chairs.
Is it bad that I have a thing that I need to get at Walmart? We have a great partner here, obviously, but it's a thing that is like exclusively at Walmart, and I'm just going to hoof it for a couple weeks. I'm not doing it. I can't go in there. The back to school, I missed my window. I can't go in there.
Not going to use the name. I actually know him. Texter knows who pulled you. That's funny.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Look, I've said that you're just doing your job. You're just doing your job. I'm glad that he's telling that story. I'm just really glad. And I told him straight up. I was like, look, man, I was having a problem with the podcast. I know. I have my phone in my hand. I know I did.
What this sounds like to me is that Kwok said, do you know who I am? That's what it sounds like. Anybody else picking up those vibes from Kwok right now?
This is a true story. I was driving back from when my wife and I were, I think we were engaged, and I was driving back from Greenville to my house in Seneca on 123. And I was listening to, I don't know, it's kind of worship music or something. And I was trying to like stay away. I was like leaned over the steering wheel trying to stay away. It was after midnight. And the blue light's behind me. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm in Clemson. Speed limits change, whatever. Maybe I just missed it. So I pulled off into a parking lot. Second cop comes. I'm like, what did I do? What in the world did I do? Apparently, I was swerving in the lane. Have I told this story before?
No.
I was swerving in the lane. And he said, it's an indicator. The guy comes up to me and he's like, we need to just check and make sure. Have you had anything to drink? No. Haven't had anything to drink. I was just tired. I was kind of like antsy, just trying to get home from I think we were engaged, from my fiance's house. So the other police officer comes around to the passenger side and is like, hey, Quackenbush. So we had a fun conversation about the show. They're like, it won't take long. Just give me your license. It'll be fine. Texter says, Kwok from the Reds. Kwok from the Reds. Did you see, by the way, this has nothing to do with anything, Marcelo Ozuna got released by the Pirates, and the Talkin' Baseball Twitter account posted, Marcelo Ozuna from the Pirates was released. And in no other player
that's
would be referred to that way. I love it so much.
It's been years since I've been pulled. I did get pulled one time. I don't even remember what for. And the guy recognized my last name. We both have unique last names.
Yes.
And he said he was very nice. I didn't get a ticket, but he recognized my name and told me he was a Carolina fan. I immediately went, uh-oh. Oh, this is going to be expensive. Look, if he listens to this show.
I'll just put my hands out the window, put my hands on the vehicle. Just book me right now.
Yeah. Have you seen the, I think we were just talking about, yeah, easily copped. Have you seen the black Mustang?
Oh, yeah.
That easily has?
I passed one yesterday.
You know, if I got pulled by that, I wouldn't even be mad.
No.
Like,
no.
Hey, I think you need to take me back to your car.
Yeah, for sure. Book me and then tell me what's going on
in
there.
The funniest part about it's all blacked out, including the windows. And I want to go, I need to go check your tent, buddy. This car, this is not legal.
I'm pretty sure this is not. Maybe call one of your friends and then me and him will inspect
it's
this.
Pretty cool. It's a good looking car.
Can you citizens arrest a tent violation for a police car? Can you get a citizen search warrant for that?
You pull me in an old Ford Crown Victoria, I'm gonna challenge that ticket. You pull me in a brand new Mustang, like, you know, yeah, you're probably right. I'm probably guilty.
Oh, man. We have a lot to do today. Can I tell you something? I don't know if I'm overcompensating today. My neck, if I look weird on air today, my neck is sore. Like, for like 3 days, I've been dealing with a sore neck, and I'm just over it. My wife's like, you have to hold your head straight. That's the only way it'll get better. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, no, hold it straight. And I just tell her all the time, like, I am holding it straight. So I have no idea what my head looks like. I have old man neck, all right?
Easy now.
Yeah, I mean, it just
I call that a day that ends in Y.
And I also signed up for TikTok today. And I feel more aligned with my neck than with TikTok because I'm like, all right, how do I do this? What am I supposed to do? How do I fix this algorithm? Because I see people that have finely tuned algorithm. I feel like I'm going to have to scroll for like 3 years to get my algorithm right.
Like a couple things, and you'll see every video ever made of that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Like everything I have now is like about Greenville because I guess it knows where I am. So it's just like people talking about Falls Park and coffee shops and that kind of stuff. Like you've sent me in the last 2 days two hilarious TikToks.
Yeah, I told you yesterday that I'm not forward a video guy, and here I am. I've done it 2 days. The one I sent you today
is really good. It's really good.
Look, we're gonna move on to more pressing matters. I promise, people. If you've listened to this show, it's going to make perfect sense to you why I forwarded Kwok this video. It was if Donald Trump read the Bible to you. And
it's, like, it's just good.
And it started with Genesis 1:1 in Donald Trump's voice. I'm like, this is the most, if ever there's a video made for William Quackenbush, it is this video.
It's so good because I've said this before many times. If you're Donald Trump's speechwriter, you have the easiest job in America because he doesn't read your speech. He reads your line and then, like, explains the line. That's why we have to do it. We have to do it. We must. And you can tell when he's reading.
Can you give me a little Genesis 1:1 real quick?
This is what I'm talking about. He reads the line, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is great. Terrific guy. I know him so well. He created it. All of it. All of it.
It's a beautiful earth.
Even the things that we don't like, he created it all. It's terrific. He's a terrific guy. And the world was void and without form. It was formless. That's what it means. They're talking about the form of the earth. There was none.
That, folks, is exactly why I sent him the video.
Literally, that's every speech. I'm like, okay, he's doing the speechwriter thing now, and the Iranians must open the Strait of Hormuz. And then in, he goes, we have to do it because they're cowards. They're cowards, and they're in the Strait. And it's like, the speechwriter's like, I didn't write that. I didn't write that part. Don't hold me accountable for that part. And we don't like them very much. They're terrible people. Iran has to do what, and it, like, he goes in and out of this thing. And if you can get that right, you can do the world's best. You can do the best Trump impression. So thank you for sending me that because it did make my day. We had two meetings today. That's how I bridged the gap between the meetings. And it was a perfect gap bridger. Perfect gap bridger between the meetings. I need Trump to do a genealogy now. I need a Donald Trump genealogy. Oh, man. Methuselah. He was old. He's a very old guy. All right. Let's take a break. I've got lots of college football stuff to talk about. You know what, Ben? You're going to be out the next couple days. So you get dealer's choice. Whatever you got to say today, you just say, man, you just get off your chest because you're not going to be on for a few days. I'm here for it. Stay with us. Hour one of the program continues next.
The countdown is on. 24 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices.
Love the savings.
Alabama showing blitz, and they'll come with it. Watson throwing it across the middle as a complete Renfrow. Inside the 20, inside the 10 and the 5. Touchdown! Hunter Renfrow goes in from 24 yards out for the touchdown.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
If you have a plumbing emergency, make sure you get that taken care of. Call the plumber. Games in each of the last 2 years, like, lost conference games that they shouldn't have. They lose as favorites all the time. And you know, to teams that they should overmatch. So, Ben, we were talking about that there is almost nothing that you can take to the bank. Almost nothing. Ben, I'm going to give you the one thing that I think you can absolutely take to the bank in college football. And you're going to think I'm crazy. And people, because this is not the narrative around this team and this program. The narrative around this team and this program is that they have slipped a little. The narrative around this team and this program is that they're not what they once were. The narrative around this team and this program is that this coaching staff is still great, but it maybe has lost their luster a little bit. Ben, of all the things in the country, the only thing that I think we could take to the bank is Georgia. And here's why I say that. I was doing some research in the last two playoff fields, just jotting some things down. I'm not asking for your opinion, but I'm just sort of asking for your perception of what people are saying. What is the conversation around Georgia that you have experienced and that people are talking about right now?
For right now, strangely enough, I have not heard a lot of conversation, a lot of talk about Georgia. And that's a little odd because there's a lot, there's many reasons to be talking about Georgia. I think I'm with you on them. They are, and this sounds strange to say about Georgia, but I think they're flying under the radar, Kwok. I do.
They are. They totally are. And I don't understand it. This is empirically, first of all, empirically, they are down from where they were 4 years ago, where they won back-to-back national titles and never lost a game ever. That is objectively correct. Ben, I'm looking at the last two playoff fields, and obviously the rules were different in 2024 and 2025 about seeding and who got seeded where. Ben, Georgia has been the 2 seed and the 3 seed in the playoffs. The 2 seed and the 3 seed. Do you know they are one of only 4 teams that even made the playoff field in both years of the 12-team field? There's only 4 teams that have made the playoff both years. Georgia's one. They were 2nd in 24 and 3rd last year. Indiana is 2. They were 10 in 24 and 1 last year. Ohio State is 3. They were 8 in 24 and 2 last year. And Oregon was 1-5, okay? The only team that's been in the top 3 in consecutive years is Georgia. And yet, what do we say? All of these conversations about Big Ten versus the SEC, it's just a given fact that Georgia has slipped, right?
Based on the fact that there's not a lot of discussion about Georgia would suggest that, yes, people think they have slipped. Quote, I'm not sure they have slipped is the thing. I think their defense is going to be elite again. Stockton is good enough to just don't lose it for you. The concern there, I want to say they lost 5 of their top 6 receivers. And you have a question mark at wide receiver. But when I look at their schedule, it is tough enough that you can lose 2 games and still get in. It's easy enough that you can go, you feel fairly confident that they're like a 10-2 kind of a team. But it's also a strong enough schedule that 10-2 gets you into the playoffs. At Alabama, no matter what you think about Alabama, Alabama kind of has your number. And that will be a tough game. You got to go to Alabama, to Ole Miss. Everything else on their schedule, Kwok, I would say they're a favorite and you're not too terribly worried about it. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I'm looking at Georgia in each of the last 2 years. They've lost to Alabama twice and Ole Miss once, and that's it.
Jeff, this is a great comment. He said, I felt like Georgia is kind of boring to the national audience. There is a part of that when you are good for an extended period of time, you're not the new shiny toy. You're not the newcomer that we're all attracted to. I think there's an element of truth to that.
I agree with that 100%. Part of it is the way they have won even before. You know, before Georgia had, you could argue that their defense, because they were going to have, you know, four or five. I mean, those defenses in 21, 22, even 23, like they had three, four, five guys in the conversation to be first-round picks every year. They were just rolling those guys off a freaking conveyor belt. Now, you don't really have that as much, although you still have some great players. You've got Bolden and Wilson and these guys. Like, I think Branch is an interesting player in there. You've got a couple transfers that are pretty good players. Offensively, they're also not wowing you. Like, Nate Frazier's back as their number one tailback, but he's essentially a 1,000-yard rusher. Six touchdowns. Like, he's not being talked about as All-American, you know, kind of a thing. To me, Gunnar Stockton, I talked about this yesterday, he is considered a very good college quarterback. But that, to Jeff's point, doesn't move the needle when Dante Moore is out at Oregon. And even in your same conference, Trinidad Chambliss, a more exciting player. Arch Manning is a more exciting player. LSU, Sam Leavitt with Lane Kiffin, probably a more exciting situation. You have these, even at the top level of the conference, there are more interesting quarterback situations. And I do think their defense has dropped a little. And they allowed 10 points a game in 2021. They allowed 17.5 last year.
If I said, Kwok, you have to pick one team from the SEC, you put all your chips on this one team to make the playoffs. Not necessarily to even win the SEC to get there, but the one team in the SEC, who would it be?
It'd be Georgia. Not even close.
I tend to agree with that.
Not even close. We trust in Sark?
Sark would be the other team that comes to mind. Similar type schedule in conference. They also play Ohio State in game two this year, which, you know, who knows? Overall, a tougher schedule because of that one. But in terms of in conference, I would rate their in conference record schedule pretty similarly to Georgia's.
I think Texas is more talented. I think Texas is a sexier team to talk about because of Arch and the money. And some of it is because they are the team that has unfulfilled expectations.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sark. Are you gonna trust Sark or are you gonna trust Kirby Smart? I mean, when you have to choose between those two, for that one team you're gonna put all your chips on, I think you have to go Georgia.
Kirby Smart's track record speaks for itself. Like I say, we are talking about Georgia like they are, and you've seen this in all of these Big Ten versus SEC discussions. People are saying, well, it's because Georgia's dropped a peg and because Alabama's dropped a peg. Well, Alabama's clearly dropped, but I don't see any evidence that Georgia has considerably fallen off. I think what's happened is there's more parity, so they're not dominating the sport.
Exactly.
But relative to everybody else, you're telling me the second best team 2 years ago and the third best team last year has dropped off? That doesn't make sense to me. They easily won the SEC title last year, and they beat Texas for the title 2 years ago. So they win the title every year. They win the SEC literally every year in what is probably still even maybe the deepest conference. That, to me, speaks volumes about their program. And if you're telling me that in the 12-team – we've had 24 playoff teams, so a chance to have 12 in both years, only four have made it both years – and Georgia's the only team that's been in the top four. Georgia and Oregon are the only ones that have been in the top five. Sign me up for the Georgia experience. Because That floor, that's the highest floor in college football. Maybe even more than Ohio State. I'm going to tell you this. If you ask me, and I, you know, we can use the other three, because the other three teams besides Georgia that I named are all Big Ten teams. Do you feel better about Oregon getting back than you do Georgia? Do you feel better about Ohio State getting back than you do Georgia? Do you feel better about Indiana getting back than you do Georgia?
Well, when you move to another conference, yeah, I had to look at those. But I feel good that one of those three teams you just mentioned will be back.
Yes.
And most likely two of them.
Probably
but
two.
I don't know which two.
And you know what? Honestly, maybe three, because they don't all play each other.
It's hard. It's hard not to put Oregon in that category when you just look at the amount of talent they have amassed there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are.
We'll talk about this some more when we come back. 654-ROAR if you'd like to get in. Adam's equipment text line, Pratt Andrew Lawyer's phone lines. First hour of the show continues next.
Want to stay up to date with everything the Roar has to offer? Follow us on social media at The Roar FM so you never miss a live show or event. The Roar, where the upstate sounds off.
Let me tell you about Falls Park at Kiwi. This is a brand new neighborhood in Salem, private. You've got the sort of gated community feel with the cameras, so you feel like you've got that sense of privacy. You're protected. But it also feels natural. These 71 home sites are specifically designed to give you comfort, to give you a sense of sustainability in the community, to give you a sense of natural living. You've got access to two lakes, direct to Kiwi, concierge access to Joe Cassie. So many reasons to love what Jim Anthony and his team are doing at Falls Park at Kiwi. You go to the website, the pictures are absolutely gorgeous. Cannot wait to see what happens when this community's finished. You can get in right now, fallsparkatkiwi.com.
We got your summer covered.
Summer sports station.
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street. Fixing pipes and wires that can't be beat.
Friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game. Everything has to be right, so when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold, white, and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Buying a mattress is painful. That's why we developed the Duo Mattress, a patented two-piece mattress design that makes this process easy. The Duo is the most cost-effective, sustainable, adaptable, and comfortable mattress you've ever experienced. With our 100-night sleep trial and unique comfort exchange, you can rest easy knowing you're taken care of with engineered sleep.
We are here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, anything to prevent pine beetles?
The most important thing we can do is to preventatively spray our trees. We're going to spray the bottom
over you. Like, they do have a quarterback that just fits their program. It's not a beautiful NFL skill set type player, but he's a good tone setter for them. They're going to play a way that Kirby wants to play, and they're going to beat everybody. That's what's going to happen. Now, we compared them to those three Big Ten teams, and I've said this before, that Ohio State has the highest floor in the country. They are the self-perpetuating team in the country. Ben, listen, I know the rules were different. They were the number 8 seed 2 years ago in the playoff because they lost to Oregon and they lost to Michigan. Now it was by a combined 4 points. Last year, they lost one game to Indiana by a combined 3 points. Literally, they lost to They lost three games in the last 2 years in the 12-team playoff era by a combined seven points. If we go back 3 years in the regular season slash Big Ten championship game, they have lost four games by a combined 13 points. So Ohio State, you probably can say, you can take that one to the bank too. They're going to figure out a way. They've got at Texas, at Indiana, at USC, Oregon at home. This might be the toughest Ohio State schedule in a while, if you're just looking at them. Indiana has the easiest schedule of all of them, but they got to play Ohio State. But they're going to be favored in all 11 other games, I think, unless Michigan just really emerges. They got to go to the big house.
Michigan's currently ranked 14th.
No.
I'm not buying that. I'm just not buying that for Michigan right now.
No. But do you have to win eight games? Do you have to win nine games? I mean, come on, guys. Come on. I know they were 8-4, 9-3 last year. They actually were better. I mean, better is beating Purdue by 5, beating Northwestern by 2. I mean, ugh. Beating Nebraska by 3. Ugh. Gross. Oregon has an interesting one because their schedule sets up. We were talking about this during the break. Their schedule sets up really well outside of the Ohio State road game, but they've had more program changes. They've got two new coordinators. Dan Lanning hasn't had to replace coordinators like this in his time at Oregon. So this is a big one for him. And the guys that he hired, the offensive coordinator was his co-OC, Drew Mehringer, so he promoted from within. And his DC was a promotion from within, Chris Hampton, who was at Tulane as a DC for a couple years. So he decided to go internal with his coordinator hires. And we've seen that go well, obviously, and we've seen that go poorly. So maybe you would add a couple of these to the Georgia camp in terms of taking it to the bank. I just think, like, the staff questions at Oregon are deeper than any question I have about Georgia. The Indiana, can you do it again with a third quarterback in 3 years who was among the nation's leaders in interceptions last year? Can you just do that again off of a national championship where we know that even in the tightest, the most militarized programs, that there's a little bit of a lull? Can Ohio State navigate a schedule that sends them to Texas, to Iowa, to Indiana, to USC? Can they navigate that with no issues? Those are questions that I feel are deeper than any question I have about Georgia. And I think that's why I would put Georgia, slipping Georgia, down a peg Georgia. I would put them at the top of the list. Would you, before we go to Trey's phone call, Ben, would you, in knowing what we know about Ohio State and Indiana and Oregon, would you put any, all, none of these teams ahead of Georgia in the, like, the certainty category of what we can expect from these three Big Ten programs?
I probably would not, because I think those three, because you just mentioned three viable candidates from the same conference, and they're all three feel sort of even to me. Indiana has the easier of the three schedules, but Oregon and Ohio State's, you know, fairly similar. I would still stick with Georgia. I think I would.
I think so too.
I'm taking two of those other three teams as well.
That's right. Do you have a lean on which two?
It's hard to imagine it not being Ohio State.
They got to be one, yeah.
You know, and I might actually lean Oregon there.
The main reason for Indiana, I know you could say the Cignetti thing. The main reason to me for Indiana would be the schedule. But it just, because there's a lot of easy wins on there, you don't have a lot of margin for error. So if they did lose the Ohio State game, for example, you go to Michigan the next week, you can't lose that. You go to Washington, you play USC, you can't lose that one. So I think those are factors.
On second thought, I'm looking over Indiana's schedule. God, it just it doesn't feel right to leave any of the those three out.
I know.
I'd be crazy not to put Indiana in that, though.
Do we think they all four make it back again? We've had eight teams in and out from year one to year two. Two-thirds of the field's been different. Do we think the four teams that have been in both are going to be in the third?
Indiana's starting number six, I believe, is what they're currently ranked. They're going to start one, two, three, four, five. It would be an upset if they don't start 6-0, which puts them probably third or fourth in the country. And then they host Ohio State on October 17th at Michigan the following week. And they have Southern Cal at the end of the season. It's hard to find three losses on their schedule, and two losses gets them in. If I'm being honest, it's hard to find two losses on their schedule.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm
saying. So, all three are great teams. So, I mean, there's a good – I think all three might get in there. I still don't know if I would put them in over Georgia, though.
If you parlayed Georgia, Ohio – I'm using consensus numbers on Action Network right now. If you parlay Georgia, Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon to make the playoff, it pays out plus 227.
We need to talk during the break.
Let's go to Trey, who patiently waited for a phone call. 654-ROAR is the number on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. What's up, Trey?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, if Vezina or Tate Reynolds, you know, whoever – decides to, you know, or whoever ends up being the quarterback, Clemson. I guess we know Vezina's probably going to walk out there first, but I'm saying for the long haul of the season, if they could play a Stetson Bennett role or a Gunnar Stockton role, you know, talking about Georgia, I mean, with the backfield that Clemson's capable of having this year with our receivers, I mean, isn't it time for Clemson to maybe have more of a game manager at quarterback instead of a quarterback that's trying to win the game every single play, in a sense, if you know what I mean? I think if Vezina could play more of that Gunnar Stockton, Stetson Bennett role, I do think Clemson could be, you know, there's really only two games that I look at their schedule and I'm like, I you know, if I was to put money on it, I'd probably bet against the Tigers. But all the other games I feel like are very winnable with average to above average quarterback play.
You know, Trey, That's an interesting question. I would agree in theory with that. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. We've talked about this at various points of the offseason, and I don't think it's totally off base to say this, that what Clemson is looking for from its quarterback, particularly with Chad Morris's sort of charge with this group, is that you want to be better at running the football. Well, that's not really about quarterback in the traditional sense. Now, we've talked about this before, that Clemson – remember last year, we had these conversations about Clemson needs to be better running the football. They ended up being much worse. But we talked about, okay, they need to commit to running the football. That sounds great. What do you do with these receivers? Your best position group is your receiving group. And I think that's the rub with Clemson, is that, yes, they need a game manager. Yes, they do. Two problems with that. One, you need to be able to feature those receivers. That feels like the quarterback's going to have to make some plays. So that's number one. Number two, and this is the biggest, to me, all the questions that people have about Clemson, defensive tackle and offensive line and running back and linebacker depth and the quarterback position and does Dabo still have it, all the questions that we can potentially ask here. To me, the biggest question is, can Dabo Swinney have an offense where the quarterback is not the gravitational force that makes it go? We have never – the type of offense that Trey's talking about in that phone call, we have never seen Clemson do that well. It's not a thing. We have seen Georgia do it well, which is why the example that Clemson – I mean, we've heard this – how many times, Ben, have we heard people bring it up, and we've even brought up – look at the example of Georgia. I've heard Mickey talk about it, but like, look at the example of Georgia with Gunnar Stockton. He doesn't have to win every game. You just run the ball. You let the offensive line cook. You make just the safe plays and get receivers involved. Your tight end position's great, and that's how your offense goes. Well, Clemson doesn't have those elements, really. Clemson, in fact, is like the opposite offensively of Georgia, where Georgia's got a reliable run game and really good tight ends, and they use tight personnel, and Clemson's got really good receivers and question marks and all the other stuff. So people are like, yeah, they need an offense that's more like Georgia, but they have question marks at all the Georgia stuff. So I'm not sure that Clemson can do that. What I think they're going to need eventually, particularly if you're going to go win at LSU and you're going to beat Miami and you're going to win these big games on the schedule, is you're going to need either Christopher Vezina or Tate Reynolds to level up and become a playmaker at moments. Now, he can't be a playmaker that loses a game for you. So that's the rub. And you might try to sort of just massage the game and get to a point where maybe you can win it in the fourth quarter with some stuff. That's my main question, Ben. I don't think Clemson has the pieces to actually do what it is that Trey's saying that they need to do.
I'm not even sure what a game manager quarterback is anymore. In this era of football, to me, it suggests you're a little bit more one-dimensional. I don't know that that's winning football anymore. A quarterback has to make plays, period. I mean, and that doesn't always mean that you're throwing bombs, but you're going to have to make some plays. And at Clemson, you don't have – while you have some talent in the backfield on paper, you don't have any talent that you fully trust yet. At least I don't. I absolutely don't. I know what I've been told, and I know what I read, and I know what people hype up. But seeing is believing. And another part of that running game is that offensive line, and there's my question. So, you can't just lean on running game right now.
We'll talk to Scott and Snaphook about that in hour number two right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Sizzling scores all summer long.
And he makes the catch!
The Roar.